Hello and welcome to episode 24 of Chicago Business Podcast, where we introduce leading executives in the area and learn how innovation is impacting their businesses. I am your host, Drew Sekula, and today we welcome Ross Gordon, CEO and founder of Catch Company, where he leads the company focused on creating amazing fishing brands, products, and shopping experiences for the modern angler. Hello, Ross. Thank you for joining us.
Hey, Drew. How are you doing? Thanks for having me.
Yeah, doing real well. Excited to have you on the show.
Excited to be here.
Nice. Well, before we get into it, let's break the ice with the beverage of the day. Why don't you share with us what you selected and why you selected it?
So I chose to just have a classic margarita today. I'm personally a big tequila guy. So anything with tequila in it or, you know, just sipping out tequila. And I chose this because I was doing a bit of traveling over winter break and I was in the American Express Centurion Lounge in Phoenix, Arizona. And I had them make me a margarita. It was probably the first one I had one in quite a while. And it just was very refreshing and delicious. And I said, you know what? Time to get my mar game going.
There you go. Yeah. Cheers. Yeah. Matching you here. I got one for cheers. You. So nice. When I saw your selection came through, I got excited because it's been quite a while for me as well. So excited to pick up a bottle and I actually practiced. I admit over the weekend, giving my wife a hard time because she was finishing up with her dry January. And I said, you know, I got to make sure that I get just the right amount of the floater on top and, you know, needed a little practice because my margarita game isn't where it should be.
Yeah, yeah, dialed in. So did you do the dry January too or just your wife?
Just my wife, actually.
Good for you, man. Good for you. Yeah, I've had too many people tell me about this dry January thing and I don't know, it just seemed a little crazy. It feels like the wrong year to do it.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I mean, I'm all about self-improvement, but that's a tough one this year especially. So nice. Well, great to have you on here about what you have going on there at Catch Company or Catch Co.
We started as Catch Company and we've sort of shortened it to Catch Co. and people tend to say Catch Co, but either one's good for me.
Yeah, no, I like the ring at Catch Co. You have a whole family of brands, though, that fall underneath that. Why don't you start by giving us just a little explanation of the different brands that you have under that family?
Yeah, so Catch Co is a parent company, an ecosystem that we're building in the fishing space, the sport fishing space for the modern angler. We started originally as a company called Mystery Tackle Box, which is a monthly subscription for fishing lures. Started back in 2012. Today, the Catch Co umbrella encompasses Mystery Tackle Box as well as a number of product brands that we create with fishing lures and fishing products. So we have a brand called BioSpawn Lure Company. We have a brand called 10,000 Fish. We have a saltwater brand called Salt Native. So we have a bunch of different product brands. And then we also have an e-commerce site called Carl's Bait and Tackle. That's at shopcarls.com. So Carl was like a mascot of ours for Mystery Tackle Box. And when we started the e-commerce, we launched that with Carl. And then we also have content that we create under the Catch Co umbrella too. So we have a series called Unchartered, which is like a travel adventure fishing series. We're working on some new series now. So Catch Co is kind of like the umbrella over everything.
Yeah, well, there's a lot to unpack there. It's a lot of exciting things. It looks like you really started with that Mystery Tackle Box idea and have built it out from there. I saw one of your stats there. You've shipped over 5 million boxes at this point. And you're up to, looks like, I think I counted nearly 60 employees just listed on your website. So you built quite the business there.
Yeah, it's been crazy. I can't say I ever thought it was going to get this big. You know, I remember just doing this in my garage with a couple of co-founders as kind of a side hustle. You know, my background's been in digital marketing and digital media, and this was just fishing as a passion of mine. I never really thought it was going to turn into such a, you know, what it is today. But yeah, we just hired our 62nd employee recently, and we're still hiring and still growing. It's been just a crazy ride.
That's great. That's great. I really like seeing how you highlight the employees on your website as well. You know, that I've seen that a couple of times before, but it's not all that common to really show that connection to, you know, down to the individuals, because you have a lot of, you know, you have your executive team, but you have more than just that listed there.
Yeah, we have a really strong culture. We have a really tight-knit company where everyone really gets along with everyone. And, you know, we try and keep an open culture where people at different levels can learn from each other, get together, and we try and reflect that on our website too. And we think everyone in the company is important for what they're doing for our customers. So
nice. Tell us a little bit about your connection to Chicago. I know you're based here, but I think you actually grew up in Minnesota. Is that right?
Yeah, I grew up in Minnesota. And that's where my fishing background comes from. You know, I had three lakes within 10 minutes of my house and would just, you know, I loved fishing ever since I was a kid. I moved here in high school. My family moved here my senior year of high school. I actually went to boarding school here for 3 years, but then my family moved my senior year. So I've been in Chicago since high school. I was in New York for college and I came back here after I got married. And, you know, my wife is from Chicago. So this is kind of where we're, you know, raising our family and building the company. And it's a great city for the startup culture. You know, the tech culture is growing. You know, you have access to water, fishing. So it's a cool place to build a fishing company.
Yeah, it seems like it would be. Seems like it would be. I must admit that I'm not an angler myself, but I do enjoy going out on occasion. But I have some good friends who know well that I'm the novice amongst us. So, but I still appreciate it too. It was just it was kind of the opposite for me. My family was not really big into the fishing scene, so I didn't have the experiences when I was a young kid. Although I have done a little with my children, and it's been fun when we've made it out there, and we have some fun photos. Fun story. The first time I ever went took my daughter fishing, we were on a at a family reunion up in Montana, and my daughter caught her first fish on her first cast. So it was nice. A pretty fun experience, and we actually have a picture of it too, of that first cast. So it was pretty cool.
You kind of spoil them when they catch the first fish on their first cast, you know, then they think it's going to be easy from there.
Yeah No, she's young enough that she remembers the picture, but that's about it. But that's not the normal experience. Didn't take her too long to figure that out, but it was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun. And I know that obviously there's some people that are just head over heels. You obviously you cater to the passionate fan though, with when you talk about like Mystery Tackle Box. That's a monthly subscription, I guess. And depending on your level, you're spending, it looked like what, 20 to 40 bucks a month.
Exactly. Yeah. Mystery Tackle Box. You pick your species. You tell us what you fish for, how much you want to spend a month. But we also sell those in Walmart. We sell those in Dick's. So you don't have to have a subscription. You can go into the store and buy a single box. But, you know, through the website, you can subscribe and get it every month. You can get it every other month now. And I think quarterly, we're going to create an option as well. But it's definitely catered more towards, you know, people who are pretty into fishing, right? If you're doing it a couple times a year, a subscription to a fishing box probably isn't your thing. But we are in the process of working on some products and ideas that are more for new people into fishing for the first time, to help them understand, you know, if you want to take your kids fishing, it's very intimidating. There's a lot of knowledge. You don't know what gear to buy. We're trying to help create products and content for that market as well. So that's something we're working on that we're pretty excited about.
Oh, that's fun. That's fun. That would be something that would probably be a little more, more in my realm in terms of, you know, something I'd be comfortable. Yeah, that would definitely be something I would consider in terms of some kind of starter box that could, you know, that can get you out there, because, you know, if you're starting from very little, you know, you don't know where to go, you know, well, a pole and some bait, but adding some more structure could definitely make, there's definitely an opportunity there as well. You guys are doing some amazing things though outside of that as well. Let's talk a little bit about Unchartered in the show that you've created there.
Yeah, so Unchartered is a concept that we came up with probably about 2 years ago is when we first had the idea for it, but we were trying to think of a way, you know, a lot of the fishing content on YouTube is either, you know, influencers doing blog style content. So they're just kind of talking about their day and then they're going fishing and, you know, maybe they're throwing in some tips and then there's like some instructional type of content. But we were trying to think about an idea to create something a little bit more entertaining for the mass market. And so the idea behind Unchartered is basically taking something like an Anthony Bourdain type show, mixing it with like The Amazing Race and then throwing fishing in there. So it's like a contest where the contestants are competing for charity, and the contestants being like our YouTube influencers that we partner with. We send them to a location, they explore the waters in the area, they explore the local culture, the local cuisine, they fish the local waters, and they compete against each other for charity while they're doing it in terms of how many fish they can catch and all that stuff. And it's just created this kind of fun mashup of a couple of different concepts that's done really well for us in terms of engagement on YouTube through our Catch Co YouTube channel. And it's just been a lot of fun to work on.
Yeah. I checked a little bit of that out just in preparation of the show. It looked very interesting. You guys have hundreds of thousands of subscribers of views there on YouTube. You're also on Amazon Prime for that. Is that right?
Yep. That show's on Amazon Prime. We have a couple other series on Amazon Prime as well. And that's a growing channel for us in terms of content distribution. It's been doing very well.
And then you started something for the women as well, or for a separate show. Is that right?
Yeah, we have a show called Covering Water, and it's hosted by two female anglers. So it's one of the first, if not only, shows on YouTube that is hosted by female anglers. And it's, you know, female anglers is actually one of the fastest growing segments of the sport right now. And it's, you know, historically been a very male dominated industry. And so we are just always looking for ways to make the sport more inclusive, more welcoming to people who may not fit what someone would call a stereotypical angler. And we work with some really awesome content creators on the Covering Water series. And that's been a lot of fun for us too.
Yeah, that's awesome. I was just looking at some of the comments on one of those, one of the early videos there, might have been the first, and it was cool to see, you know, girl saying she's 13 years old, never seen anything like this before, and it's super cool to find something out there, and you know, it's great to have, you know, be inspiring and fueling the imagination of your potential customers out there. I think that you know, but obviously that all takes resources. So you guys have some good investors behind you. Looks like you just closed a round of funding here recently. Can you share with us a little bit about that?
Yeah, so we recently closed a round at the end of last year, at the end of 2020, with an existing investor of ours, Listen Ventures. They're actually based here in Chicago. They led our previous round back in 2017. They focus on consumer investments. They're an incredible partner. They've been an incredible partner of ours for the past couple of years in terms of helping us grow, helping us think through our strategy as we continue to expand beyond just a subscription box into everything else we're doing. So, you know, this capital is just allowing us to continue hiring, continue to create new jobs in Chicago, and continue to grow our brands. And it's something we're incredibly excited about, the opportunity in the fishing category.
Yeah, that's great getting you know, that investor support, and when you're trying to, you know, break out of the mold and do some things like those shows that you're putting together, I'm sure that the additional funding comes in handy to try to grow that market. So what's your perspective on, you know, you guys are so deeply entrenched then within social media and kind of working with digital content and distribution all the time. What is your take on the on targeted ads and kind of the ability to target in on your on your target market within Facebook? How does that work for you, and how would you like to see it improved?
Yeah, well, we've been using, you know, social media advertising and paid ads since we've started the company. Before I started this company, my background was in digital marketing, and so I've been using Facebook ads even before this company, going back to probably 2010 or 2009. And before that, I was, you know, used other platforms. You know, as an advertiser, the ability to target your audience is obviously very valuable. You know, we're a fishing company. If we just had to show our ads to everyone on Facebook and we didn't know if they liked fishing or not, we'd be wasting a lot of money. And if you didn't fish and you were a consumer and you saw ads for fishing all day, you'd probably be pretty annoyed by that, right? So I think there are certainly some benefits to having a good targeting platform, both not only for advertisers, obviously for advertisers, but for consumers too, right? So you can see relevant ads for things that you like. I mean, here's a great example. I bought this thing I bought, it's called an Orba. It's like a music making device. I play music and it's a little thing. I found it through a Facebook ad. I would have never known about it if it wasn't through a Facebook ad, and it's super cool and I love it. So I think there's, as a consumer, it benefits us, but I think, you know, where you start to blur the lines a little bit is exactly what level of data is being collected. You know, is your phone listening to you when you don't realize it's listening to you? And is it sharing that data with other services who you may not have consented to share it with? That's where, both as a consumer and as a business, frankly, you get a little bit more concerned about what's being done with some of that technology, and would like to see a little bit more clarity from whether it's regulation or from the platforms themselves on what they're doing with this data and how it's being used and what exactly they're tracking.
Yeah, it's such a delicate balance there, but it seems like maybe there are some structural things that can be put into place, because, yeah, I know I want there to be so much more of it. I want to be served up relevant, ads and things that I want to buy. That makes it a lot more engaging and a lot more interesting. You know, I don't want to be, you know, you end up wasting a lot of time and resources when you're showing me advertisements of things I'd never cared to buy. But, you know, people also don't ever read the terms of service before clicking accept, and they don't know what information is being shared. And so it'd be nice if there was an easier way to opt in, I guess, and to opt out if you so choose. But, I don't know. It's easier said than done, I suppose.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what, you know, I read something just the other day that Facebook is going to start disclosing more information about what they're tracking and give users more options. But, you know, I guess I'll believe it when I see it, so to speak. And I know there's a whole thing right now with Apple in terms of blocking the data that they're going to share with their partners. And so it's an evolving space, and I'm sure there's going to be a lot of changes in the next couple of years, and I guess we'll have to see. And as a business owner, we'll continue to find ways to adapt. One of the reasons why we are so focused on creating amazing content like we are, like with the Uncharted series and a bunch of the other things, or social media, is so we are less reliant on, you know, that type of, the need for that type of data for targeting, and we can create amazing content. Our audience will come to us, and we can then have access to them. So.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. So how it's been an interesting year as we get into 2021 now. What has COVID meant to your businesses?
Yeah, you know, this is an interesting question, because obviously so many people have really struggled throughout COVID. And I have a lot of personal friends who've been in industries that have been negatively impacted, whether it's transportation, hospitality, food, restaurants, et cetera. And so, you know, I say this fully realizing the scale of the impact that this has had on so many people. But for us, particularly in the sport of fishing and being an outdoors company, you know, we've been fortunate enough to benefit from some of the trends we've seen in consumer behavior. People are getting outside more, looking for ways to basically get out of their house as they're social distancing and there's not much else to do. So the sport of fishing has grown like crazy, faster than it's grown in decades. Over the past year, fishing license sales in every state are up record amounts. Personally, every time I go fishing, I see more people out on the water than I've ever seen before. So, you know, our category has been growing and we've been trying to keep up with demand, and that's created some of its own unique challenges for us. But, you know, we've been incredibly fortunate to have benefited from the surge in outdoor activity, and it's been, you know, solid for our business.
Yeah, it's nice to be in a spot that was actually picking up some, you know, well-positioned for the changes that we've seen. And then, yeah, holding on to that, I think that for the fishing industry anyway, I think that they're probably positioned well to benefit over the longer term as it attracts more people. And, you know, that active outdoor lifestyle is something that we all need more of, not just this year. So
absolutely. I mean, and our company purpose, like, you know, the reason why we exist as a company is to rescue people from the indoors, right? So it's fishing is a way that we do that, but more broadly speaking, we all need to spend more time outside. There's just, you know, so many studies on the negative consequences of all the time we spend on technology, all the time we spend indoors. And we think we have a really meaningful solution to humanity to help get more people into fishing, get more people outdoors. And that's what we're very focused on right now.
Nice. How do you see the company growing looking into the future?
Yeah, I think it's just continuing to do the same stuff we've always done. You know, we've always been very focused on the consumer, always very focused on innovation and creativity and passion. And so, you know, whether it's Mystery Tackle Box or Carl's or some of the Catch Go brands, we've always been asking ourselves, what else can we do to better serve our customers? How can we make the sport more engaging? How can we make it more inclusive to more people? And so we're very focused on that in the short term, continuing to grow the brands that we have, growing Mystery Tackle Box, really growing Carl's Bait Tackle. There's a big opportunity with e-commerce and putting our products in more stores. Those are all the biggest near-term opportunities for growth for us that we're going to continue to focus on. But, you know, as we look for adjacencies, perhaps getting into more broader outdoor activities, servicing, you know, other customers who are doing things like, we don't do fly fishing, for example. There may be some other categories we may get into. We don't do, you know, salmon fishing right now. That's something we get asked for a lot. So expanding within the fishing category, and then perhaps expanding to other outdoor categories like hunting or camping, et cetera.
Nice. Yeah. There's a lot of places you can go with it, no doubt. So, you know, the key is to get the winning formula down and to you got to be profitable with the work that you're doing, or at least that you're, you know, you're attracting the right types of customers to fuel the investment. But those are all exciting plays for you there. Have you had mentors that you've worked with through your career that have helped you along the way?
Yeah, I'd say there's been different people at kind of different stages of my career who've helped me, you know, get to the next level and improve my thinking and improve the way I approach different things. You know, early on in my career, I first worked for a very small web design firm for about a year or two. But after that, I got a job at Leo Burnett, and I was a creative there doing copywriting, and I had a really strong mentor, my boss there, Mike Pugh, who I'm still in touch with. He's actually since become an entrepreneur as well. He was an incredible mentor to me early on in my career. Chris Kinsella, like the creative director on the account that I was on, also just like tremendously valuable and just helping me think bigger picture, think about creative strategy. And that's those ideas and those learnings are still things that I use today for my company. You know, when I left my job at Leo Burnett, I was doing affiliate marketing for a while. I started a company called Craft Jack that was actually acquired by a company called Home Advisor. So when that acquisition took place, there was a person at Home Advisor named Adam Burrows, who was definitely a mentor to me and like helped me think about how do we scale this company? Cause it was acquired pretty small. It was acquired early on, and they helped me hire it and really thinking strategically from a business perspective. He actually invested in my company when I left. So I've kept in touch with him. My Investors, you know, at Listen have been incredible mentors to me, just helping me continue to think through challenges. And I've just kind of found at different stages of my career, different people that I work with. Sorry, I don't know why I'm going to shut this phone off here.
No worries.
I'm one of the few people in the world who still has a house phone for some reason. My wife's decision, but.
I finally gave mine up about a year ago, but.
I wish, yeah.
Took us a while. But that's great. Yep. It's important to draw from other people's experiences, I think, and it can definitely help you along the way. So it's always interesting to hear kind of where people have drawn inspiration from. So, thank you very much for your time. Is there anything else you'd like to highlight while I have you on?
I think we've covered a lot of interesting stuff, so there's nothing really else on my plate.
Yeah, sounds good. Well, thank you for your time. I really appreciate having you on. Give you another cheers.
Cheers. And
wish you the best of success going forward. Let's stay in touch.
Thanks for having me. Take care.
Okay, cheers.